Brothers and sisters, this past October 7th, we gave thanks and glory to God through anniversary services and celebrations. Although a lot of rain and strong winds were forecast on October 6th, due to Typhoon Kongrei, the weather cleared up before 1 p.m. when the church members were scheduled to gather for outdoor activities. On Sunday as well, we had nice and pleasant weather for outdoor events. With the love of God who has been always with Ma Min, we were overflowing with joy and thanksgiving. Like this, God has guided us through in His providence and will since the founding of this church. Today's message is based on what the shepherd preached in 2013 anniversary service. I hope that this message will help you engrave Father God's grace, which has been extended to us more deeply in your hearts. 45 years ago, God reached out to the shepherd first and had him set up Ma Min 36 years ago. In His own providence and will, He reached out to him and established him as the shepherd of Ma Min. Moreover, God let him comprehend His heart and will and His great love and revealed His wonderful providence for the human cultivation and the secrets of the spiritual realm. Our shepherd realized that to become the true children whom God desires, we have to cast off all forms of evil and become sanctified. He figured out the earnest heart of God who wants all of us to enter New Jerusalem. He also figured that the day of our Lord's coming was near and how eagerly God wants even one more soul to reach salvation in this end time when sins and evil thrive. So our shepherd pondered over how he could share about the living God and our Savior to numerous souls and found the solution from power. The power can allow people to meet God as if He were right in front of them. Our shepherd achieved a heart of Holy Spirit, thereby preparing a proper vessel. By accumulating countless hours of prayer and fasting, he was able to receive power before he founded this church. And this power has been manifested unceasingly at this church and to countless souls around the world. In the early days of this church, those who received a medical death sentence were healed right after they came to church, and the crippled began walking, the blind came to see, the mute began to speak, and married couples with infertility were blessed with babies by prayer. Other than these, countless signs and wonders have been taking place at this church. What's the reason that God chose our shepherd and this church, Ma Min, to lead us in this end time? It is to wrap up the human cultivation wonderfully and magnificently through His true children who are qualified to live with Him forever in New Jerusalem. Knowing what kind of vessel had to be chosen and what kind of church had to be set up, God selected our shepherd, this church, and us in His providence and will. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4, God declares, "For the sake of Jacob my servant and Israel my chosen one, I have also called you by your name. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me." Likewise, God who knows everything selected the shepherd, this church, and us, even before time began. It is to lead us, lead as many souls as possible to the glorious city of New Jerusalem and share love with them forevermore. For the sake of it, God has endured and persevered so much. Understanding the heart of Father God, our shepherd has endured all kinds of sacrifice with an earnest and lamenting heart, not to lose even a single soul, but to lead even one more soul to join the glory of New Jerusalem. Today, the fruit of his sacrifice is being born wonderfully and unfolding right before our eyes. Unprecedented works have been taking place at this church in this end time. None of us, Ma Min members, can deny this. Many of Mommy members have come forth as God's true children, and the spiritual realm is being revealed as if we could see and touch it ourselves. And the works that even go beyond the biblical miracles are happening. Jesus foretold us in John chapter 14, verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." In the future, we'll see greater and more marvelous works manifested at this church. Don't you feel overwhelmed to imagine ourselves building Canaan and grand sanctuaries and having more people of spirit and host spirit? This won't be merely his heart's wish, our heart's wish, but will be fulfilled without fail. The shepherd said, even in a group of 10 or 100 people, soon enough peace is broken with quarrels and strife. But despite being a huge congregation, you have no quarrels or conflicts. Among you is no envy, jealousy, hatred, judgment, or condemnation. We are only united in love, senior pastor said. Since the founding of this church, we received from God the words that we couldn't even imagine possible if we only looked at the reality, and the words have been fulfilled one by one. For example, in the early days of this church, God notified us of a duty to proclaim the gospel to the God-chosen people of Israel in the end time. He told us that even Jews who refused to accept Jesus as their Savior would repent and the gospel would return to its birthplace. On July 25th, 2007, on the anniversary of the church opening, God let us embark on the Israel mission. Starting that day, the shepherd traveled throughout Israel, sharing the gospel of holiness with signs and wonders. Towards the end of his Israel mission trips, in September 2009, he conducted a united crusade in the heart of Jerusalem. He proclaimed that Jesus Christ is our Savior and proved his words with numerous works of power. As foretold by God and prophesied in the Bible, the gospel returned to Israel. Jesus Christ was proclaimed to Orthodox Jews as well as to Christians. Seeing, hearing, and experiencing such works for the last 36 years, we've grown in faith to this day. And the shepherd affirmed that none of us could doubt that all Father God's words regarding this church would be fulfilled. If there were, he said that they must be novice believers. God's promises for Man Min will surely be fulfilled. Many of them have already become reality, and the remaining ones will soon be fulfilled as well. All this has been possible by God's grace and the shepherd's sacrifice and devotion. Today, let's look back on what kind of grace we've received until today. I pray that all of you will figure out his tremendous grace and make sure to come forth as beautiful fruit of New Jerusalem to pay back his grace. First, God has given us the grace of repentance. It is by God's grace that we can realize and repent of our sins and faults. But just remember the time you met our Lord for the first time. You might have had moments when you cried with bitter tears by the Lord's grace that saved a sinner like you. As Romans chapter 5 verse 8 reminds us, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You felt God's love flooding your heart. As you realized the love of God and the Lord, you humbled yourself, admitted that you've been a sinner, and thoroughly repented with tears. The more tears you shed, the more refreshed you felt. With the joy of salvation, you were so thankful, burning with the first love for God. You know that the grace of repentance hasn't been possible on your own, but by the grace from Father God, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. Having received such grace, all of you and I are here today. Also, repenting and tearing down the wall of sins, big and small in our life of faith, hasn't been possible on our own. Thanks to God's grace and love poured upon us and the Holy Spirit's boundless mercy and help, we've been able to repent. Without such grace of repentance, even after being forgiven by the Lord's precious blood, most of us must have become slaves to sins and fallen into the ways of sin. Even small sins, if they remain unresolved, we can't be filled up with the Spirit. Rather, we may be tempted by Satan and end up committing sins leading to death. Knowing full well about this, God sent the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, to this earth so that people might turn from their ways of sins and reach perfect salvation. Thanks to our Lord's precious blood and the Spirit's mercy and help, we can arrive at perfect salvation. But in the Bible are sins about which we can't even ask for the Holy Spirit's help. There are sins leading to death. For such sins, no matter how much you struggle for repentance, the grace of repentance doesn't come upon you according to the justice. The anguish caused by such a sin is well described in the Bible. After Judas Iscariot sold Jesus, he realized his faults and tried to repent. But not able to repent, he was in severe agony and ended up committing suicide, as you've seen through Easter performances. You've seen Judas agonizing with remorse because he wasn't given a chance for repentance. After he committed suicide, he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out, as described in the Bible. Then, should people in such a situation just give up? The shepherd confessed, when he found any of his flock being in such a situation, he couldn't give up on them. So he clung to God in prayer. He lamented and shed tears on their behalf and bore the pain of sins, willingly giving up even his own life. He didn't do so because he thought there was a possibility. He considered this to be the only option as their shepherd, so he didn't take care of himself, nor was he concerned that his life could be at stake. As a result, he brought down the grace of repentance on several occasions. You and I have also received that grace. A typical example is the repentance incidents back in 2010. At the time, many of the church members, including those in the leadership, had committed sins depriving them of salvation, and their salvation was not easy. So God inspired us to write all the sins committed in our repentance letters. Having committed grace sins, we couldn't receive a spirit of repentance on our own. So we asked the shepherds to intercede for us. The repentance letters totaled up to thousands. In these letters, written by people whose faces and names are familiar to the shepherd, were lists of indescribable sins and sins they'd repeatedly committed willfully. Even in that situation, the shepherd blamed himself for not having taught them well enough. He said that as their shepherd, he couldn't step down or give up. To bear all the responsibilities, he knew that he had to lead them the way God wanted. So the shepherd knelt down before the Father on their behalf and asked for forgiveness. He then offered up earnest pleas to the Father. If there was a way to save them anyhow, I would do it for them. Please provide a way for me to save them, because only you can save them. I, your son, ask for your forgiveness. Father, help me. Please save them. This way, the shepherd pleaded with Father God for the salvation of thousands of people. Spiritually speaking, it was like transferring thousands of people from hell to heaven. Later, Father God explained that this was prayer of love that surpassed the justice. While going through such grueling spiritual tasks, he got completely drained of energy. His bone was drained of marrow and all his organs and tissues weakened. If Father God hadn't held on to him with spiritual energy, his spirit must have left his body. As he suffered the process of taking many souls destined for hell back to heaven, he ended up in that condition. You know, the ease or difficulty of fasting can differ depending on the subject of our prayer. For example, when we fast for repentance, we find fasting even more difficult. But the shepherd had to fulfill the justice not just one or two persons, but for thousands. His suffering was beyond our imagination. As a result, God granted us the grace of repentance. By forgiving even unforgivable sins, he allowed us to make a fresh start. Brothers and sisters, it's been already 8 years since that time. Have you engraved the grace of that time more deeply in your heart, year after year? Have you kept it in mind that it was invaluable grace granted by the shepherd's sacrifice? Or have you merely considered it one of your old memories, remembering it from time to time? Now, I urge you to engrave once again the grace of repentance you've received. Only then can you not repeat the same sins again. By removing evil in your heart, you can achieve sanctification and bring forth the fruit of true repentance. Let me introduce a confession of a church member who was changed by God's grace and made a new resolution. It's from Senior Pastor's book, Tears. His confession goes as follows. What kind of person was I? Blinded by my thoughts, I couldn't see or hear anything. But at some point, God touched my heart so that I began to see the shepherd's tears and hear his earnest cry. His warm love has power to bring about changes even in a person like me. Is this the work of the shepherd's original voice? Being foolish, I spent many days meaninglessly, but our shepherd has enabled me to recover from those days. I will start anew. Having been born again, I shall no longer feel embarrassed before Father God, but pay back the shepherd's favor. What went through your mind as you heard his confession? Of course, there's no way we can know what kind of life he led before that. But the important thing is, by the love of Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd, we've been empowered to repent of our past and turn from our ways. So we could make a resolution to begin anew in order to pay back the grace. All of you and I have had the moments when we gave thanks for the grace of repentance and resolved to start anew. I hope that you will always remember the grace and thrills of those moments. Apostle Paul always kept in mind the grace of the Lord who reached out to him who was like the worst sinner, made him repent, and allowed him to become an apostle preaching the gospel. He confessed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Finally, he achieved sanctification and became faithful in all God's house, thereby coming forth as beautiful fruit. You and I should also come forth as such fruits. By the way, the shepherd is still asking for the grace of repentance for those who haven't received that grace. Even for those who are riding the flow of spirit well, there should be grace of repentance as they move up from the rock of faith in the spirit. I hope that none of you will lose the grace of repentance given to you. Brothers and sisters, second, God has given spiritual awakenings. There are many cases where people repeat the sins of which they repented before, even after they make a resolution not to do so ever again. As time passes, they go back to their old ways. It's because even though they repented, they didn't realize deep in their heart how dirty and filthy their sins were and how heartbroken and grieved Father God was for them. That's why they repeat the same sins. as we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. God warned Adam not to eat from the tree of the knowledge, but he ended up eating its fruit that his wife gave him, because he didn't realize in his heart what disobedience or sins were. Knowing that sins are bad with our head is one thing, but realizing it from the depths of our heart is another. Only when we deeply realize how dirty and filthy sins are can we not commit sins. The same goes for goodness. Only when we realize how good goodness is can we not choose evil, but goodness. Father God had endured for so long until we realize what sins and goodnesses are. Just like He gives the early and late rains to the soil, He's continually provided us with the words of the truth. In this church, we have the words of life with which we can discover ourselves. Our shepherd hasn't just simply told us to be good. Through services and seminars, He's enlightened us on sins, righteousness, and judgment, and taught us to look at even minute attributes of untruth in our hearts. He said that if only we make bread of the four sermons and preached each week well, we can realize and discover ourselves. Also, the fire of prayer has never been extinguished here. Now, with the special Daniel prayer meeting going on, we always have a chance to pray fervently. Even novice believers, if they diligently follow Mrs. Bongnim Lee's lead, they can be empowered to pray. If only they pray from their hearts, they can discover their sins and quickly change into spirit. We have to know what tremendous grace this is, emphasized the shepherd. Consequently, we've cast off sins, achieved righteousness in God's sight, and turned into weak believers who can hope for rewards on the day of the judgment. But we have to go further than this. We have to reach the utmost level of goodness like Elijah, Enoch, Abraham, Moses, and the Apostle Paul, and qualify for New Jerusalem. To do so, we have to strive to discover ourselves, asking for His grace of spiritual awakening. The reason that God provides us with such grace is to gain true children who resemble Him. As we find in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. We have to discover and change ourselves daily through the word and prayer. And even after you become mature in faith to some extent, you should keep trying to gain more spiritual awakenings. You have to strive more to discover even minute areas that deviate from God's will. If you neglect the words and prayer, you become blinded by your thoughts and cannot realize your wrongs. Based on your own standards, you may think of yourself as right and end up walking the way opposite to God's will. In hearing the word of God, we should have longing and a humble heart to discover ourselves. But what about our shepherd? Even after cultivating God's words completely in his heart, no matter who preaches, he pays attention with a humble heart. So he confesses that he's touched even by the messages delivered by young, fledgling pastors. I hope that all of us have such a heart, thereby receiving spiritual awakenings day by day. I urge you not to cease praying as well. Even after you become thrilled with awakenings, as time passes, they soon fade away. Hearing sermons, you make a resolution like, "That's exactly my problem. I have to fix it." But without strength to practice the word, you end up following your old ways. As you pray, holding on to the words you've heard, you can discover your shortcomings in more detail. You get strengthened to put your awakenings into practice, remove your traces of flesh, and fix your deficiencies. Brothers and sisters, Father God has also enabled us to feel how heartbroken He is when we commit sins. As we feel His heart, it adds to our resolve to cast off sins. But There are people who ask, what do my sins have anything to do with God? They are like Job, who said, have I sinned? What have I done to you, a watcher of men? In his trial, Job resented God and spoke harsh words. Despite hearing all such words, God stayed patient with Job to change one more soul and lead him onto the way of salvation. God persevered. Thus, we should be able to figure out the heart of God. Unlike what Job said, God who searches our heart, thoughts, and minds does suffer damage when his children commit sins. Actually, he gets hurt even more, knowing that the relationship with his children will be destroyed and damaged, and that his children will be destroyed. God is grieved. Because those who commit sins are not allowed into his kingdom, his relationship with them turns to nothing. No wonder he is heartbroken. Also, because it makes our Lord's precious blood meaningless, God is heartbroken. Let's say a father advises his son to study hard, but his son retorts, whether I study hard or not, it's not your business. Whether I get good grades or bad grades, it doesn't have anything to do with you. How heartbroken would his father be to hear this? The saying goes for God's heart. Back in 1920, two little girls was found among wolves. Having learned from nothing but wolves, they couldn't communicate with men or adapt themselves to a civilized life. They howled like wolves and walked on all fours. When someone handed them any food, they ate it the same way wolves do. They were humans in outward appearance, but no different than animals. If the parents of these wolf girls had seen them, how grieved and heartbroken they must have been. It's the same spiritually. Living amidst sins, you and I were just like these wolf girls spiritually. Originally created in God's image, we ought to live a noble life as men of spirit. To do so, we have to learn the truth and change ourselves by living by the words. Only then can we live as saved children of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, we find the conclusion when all has been heard is this: fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. But if we still live in sins and keep away from the words of God, not doing the duty of man, we are no different than animals. How much would God lament if He sees His children living like animals? The same is true of the shepherd's heart. He once said that there had been people who came to him for repentance. Even after he prayed for them and encouraged them to do better, some of them came to repent again. Yet, the shepherd forgave them and was patient with them, expecting in faith that they would have spiritual awakenings, truly repent, and cast off evil from their hearts. In doing so, he repeatedly gave them advice through sermons, seminars, or personal meetings with them. He tearfully and earnestly prayed for even individuals who were very unlikely to change and waited for them. As a result, these people gradually understood his heart. Seeing the shepherd's tears and his sacrifice, they began to figure out his lamenting heart for them. At the same time, they realized why they had to cast off sins, how dirty sins are, and how to cast them off and come into spirit. Previously, they couldn't understand what they heard, so they didn't know what it is to circumcise our heart and how to do that. But they began to understand the word from their hearts. As they realized deep in their hearts how invaluable the words of life are and how precious this church and the shepherd are, they developed hope for New Jerusalem. Those with such spiritual awakenings Don't go back the way of darkness, but strive to live by the words of God.
You and I,
brothers and sisters, third, God has given us grace to act. Namely, He's empowered us to cast off sins and change ourselves. Even after we repent, have spiritual awakenings, and develop hope for New Jerusalem, we cannot change ourselves at once. In addition to spiritual awakenings, we need power to act, namely, to cast off sins, which is very important. To prevent ourselves from falling down and going back to our old ways, we need power and strength to cast off sins and change ourselves. But we cannot have such power and strength on our own. As said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We need to receive grace through the one who strengthens me, us. Such grace to act, the grace to cast off sins and change ourselves, has been given us. We've changed into people who can do what seemed totally impossible before and cast off what we failed to cast off before. Without grace from God, no matter how much we desire to cast them off, it's not possible to do so. So, those who lost strength have got back up and won towards Spirit and Holy Spirit. But, no matter how abundantly God pours His grace on His part, there are people who fail to receive it, then it's no use. In order to receive grace from God, we need to feel His love. As we feel God's love for us, we get strengthened to act. Psalm chapter 103, verses 13 and 14 read, Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Knowing our weaknesses, God has mercy on us. No matter how much we fall short, He loves us to the end, never giving up on us. So, the love of God is unfathomable with man's thoughts. Through the ministry of Jesus, God demonstrated to us how great His love is. In choosing the 12 disciples, Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot would betray Him. Nevertheless, He called him to be His disciple and wanted him to take the opportunity to change, staying by his side. It's because Jesus loved him. Even though Jesus knew the depths of his heart, He entrusted him with the money box without discriminating against him. Even with passing of time, however, Judas didn't change himself and even stole from the money box. Yet, Jesus didn't reproach him or compel him to leave, because He knew that if He did so, no more opportunity would be given him. But Judas chose evil in the end. After he decided to sell Jesus, he showed up at the Last Supper and acted as usual. Jesus gave him a warning in a way that other disciples couldn't take notice, thereby giving him a chance to the very end. Rather than being concerned of his suffering on the cross, he lamented that Judas would walk down the path to destruction. As you can see, he had such love by which he didn't give up on a person who would finally betray him, even though it took a lot of his sacrifice and efforts. Even though the person ended up on the path to death, he still had mercy on him rather than harboring hatred or resentment. This is love of Father God and the Lord. We are also able to feel such love of God. We find in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Through the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts, God enables us to feel His love. When we come to church tired and worn out, He gives us comfort and praises. It feels like He's saying, I know how you feel. He also lets us feel warmth in our prayer. We can feel the love of Father God who hears our prayer and encourages us. Then, how do you feel? We are given strength from above, thinking, all right, I have to run a bit harder. Just like this, with His love, God empowers us to act. Still, there are people who fail to feel God's love and stop moving forward in the face of their limits. They give up with fleshly thoughts like, I'm a helpless person. So our shepherd is endlessly showing God's love to us. Whether during seminars, meetings, or sermons, He puts all His heart into giving us strength and power. So that we won't fall behind and look back to the world. Also, He tries to provide us with strength and courage so that we won't get discouraged or give up. We've heard that even while the shepherd spends his time alone praying in the prayer mountain, he hovers each soul in his prayer. As we know, during the Daniel prayer meeting, he keeps his eyes open in prayer. Why? Whenever he sees someone in spiritual or physical trouble on the screen, he prays, laying his hand on the screen. When he feels that someone has become tired or discouraged, he prays to God with all the more earnest heart. Consequently, people have stood on the rock of faith and come in the Spirit, one by one. He told us to keep in mind that He is hovering us in His prayer. He added that God would work according to the shepherd's prayer if we do so. Of course, He's still now hovering us in His heart. For our spiritual change, we have to go through a lot of processes. Sometimes we may have to go over high, rough mountains or cross deep rivers. But we can do it if we rely on Father God and our Lord, who loves us to the end. We can do it if we hold on to the love of the shepherd, who's been tearfully guiding us to feel the love of Father God and our Lord. Then we'll be more than conquerors through His grace. Let me introduce a confession of a church member who used to fall into despair by his own evil, but has been strengthened to change by the shepherd's tears. This is also from the book Tears. The confession goes as follows. Father, thank you. Even though I think over and over, I don't know what I've done to deserve such love. Failing to change myself, I used to think I only brought concerns to the shepherd. I used to get disappointed by myself and tired of much evil in me. But I've changed into a person who considers the shepherd and relies on the Father. Even though I'm still not perfect, I've got strength to change myself. Thank you, Father, for waiting for many years until I realized that this strength came from the shepherd's tears. And thank you, shepherd. Brothers and sisters, our shepherd has shed many tears to provide us with strength to act. The shepherd has borne many tears that we have to shed because of our weaknesses and shortcomings. Thus, I challenge you never to forget this grace, but press on with faith that you can do it. So that we can have strength and power to act, Father God will always pour out His grace like a waterfall. I want you to keep this in mind. I hope that no matter the situation, you can confess with the Almighty God, my Father, I can do it. With my Lord who carried the cross for me, I can do it. Because my shepherd doesn't let go of me to the end, I can do it. Brothers and sisters, today we've gone over three kinds of grace given to us by God. I've explained that He's given us the grace of repentance, spiritual awakenings, and the strength to act. Have any of you not received any one of these three? None of us. Having received this grace, we ought to pay it back. And God gives us this grace because He wants to reward us with even more blessings once you and I repay that grace. It's the glory of New Jerusalem in heaven. Today's passage, Revelation chapter 21, verse 10 and 11 say, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance, it was like a very costly stone, a stone of a crystal clear jasper." As described in the verses, New Jerusalem is filled with God's glory, and it illuminates with brilliant and beautiful gemstones. Its beauty and splendor is beyond our imagination. Because it is a holy city, only people who are holy are allowed to enter there. Those who are declared holy are entitled to live in the glory forevermore. To lead us into that place, God has poured His immeasurable grace upon all of us, eagerly waiting for us. What abundant love and grace He has for us. Let me share with you the heart of Father God who delights in the best fruits of the human cultivation at a banquet in New Jerusalem. Many days of waiting, with my heart of love boundless and limitless, the cultivation started. Now the fruits turn my tears into laughter. The meeting with the ones I've missed, what beautiful banquet this is. I share my heart, love, and thrills with those beloved ones. In this place overflowing with joy and delight, the past days are good memories and reasons for thanksgiving and make the life here even more radiant. Sounds of laughter from my beloved ones delight me. Understanding Father God's loving grace, you and I have to make sure to come forth as such fruit. As you wrapped up this sermon, the shepherd encouraged us. I know how hard you've been running until now. But if you remember Father God's grace and His endeavor and His toil, how could we think of our spiritual race as demanding or hard? We have to keep pressing on through the remaining days until our Lord comes back and until Father God's will and providence is perfectly fulfilled on this earth. That's what Senior Pastor said at the end of this sermon. I earnestly hope that you and I will stand before our Lord in joy, thanksgiving, and glory on that day.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as cold and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.